for Rigby, the Low Show provides once again, and the vibes are on in the capital. Welcome back to the official Liberty A-League podcast here on the Keep Up Audio Network. Pleasure to have you this week after a brilliant action of Liberty A-League action. Campbell Johnson here as your host for today, joined by Kath Canooley and Teresa Plyers. Thank you so much for joining me today, guys.
Thanks, Cam. Always great to be here.
Thanks, Cam.
Always a pleasure to have you guys. And what a weekend it was, hey? Tash Rigby, after 90 games, finally has an A-League goal.
Real chance here for Perth Glory. And can you believe it? For the first time in the Liberty A-League, in match number 90, Tash Rigby has scored.
The heart and soul of this Perth Glory team. She's been, I think, 3 years as captain. Newells, what a moment for her.
How good was it? It was awesome to see Tash get a goal and the excitement on her face. And I think she was even stunned that it went in the back of the net. So, you know, she always plays with her heart on her sleeve. And, you know, she's been so loyal to Perth Glory. And, you know, now she's a captain. She's a real leader. She's recently just got engaged as well. So what a moment it is for her.
Bit of a nosebleed for her, T.
Yeah, look, you could probably see the excitement on her face, the surprise. But yeah, having scored myself after a very long time, I know the feeling, and definitely what her team needed. But yeah, really thrilled for Tash Rigby. She's absolute gold and a great player and person to have in the league.
What's it like when you break that drought, T? Is it that just sense of relief, and just is it the best feeling in the world?
Yeah, it's definitely relief, and you know, getting that monkey off the back for sure. But yeah, you're also in shock. I know I was in a bit of shock, didn't quite know what to do, so just let my emotions take the lead. And, it was certainly a really, really great feeling.
And obviously a draw between Perth and Western Sydney Wanderers, 1-1. Kath, does this kind of end both of their seasons in a way? It obviously wasn't the result they want. Both sides hunting for finals, Perth more than Western Sydney at this point. But does that kind of put an end to those hopes and aspirations?
Both teams really needed 3 points to sort of stay in the pack, you know, and I think a draw just wasn't good enough for either side. You can go back to Western Sydney Wanderers, 25 shots in that game, not many on target, and to only score one goal was, you know, is a bit disappointing. In saying that, Perth, again, probably in a better position to push for finals, and I think towards the end of the game there, they really needed to really give it everything to sort of push on. And look, The draw didn't do either of them any favours.
Yeah, they now sit just outside Perth Glory. They're a little bit outside looking in at the moment, T. Sixth position on the ladder. Canberra just above them on now 20 points after being provisionally docked some points, which we'll talk about that later on. Western Sydney a little bit further behind as well. A little bit wasteful for them on the afternoon?
I'd say so. You know, they had a bit of momentum prior to that match and, yeah, just things, I guess, they were wasteful on the day. And I would have loved to, you know, say that they could still make a finals push, but I do think they needed a result. And I think they were out to get a result, obviously, against Wanderers. You know, it would have been really interesting for both teams in the finals run. But, yeah, unfortunately, they just needed to continue that momentum. And on the day, the Wanderers sort of didn't let them do it.
Yeah, they certainly didn't. Kath, it's Alex Parkes' second year at the helm, I believe, or his final year. He hasn't signed on for next season. A lot of players are in the same boat as well. Do you see them signing on again, or do you see Alex Parkes and perhaps some of those players moving to another A-League club?
I think there's probably a high chance. You know, obviously, Alex isn't from Perth, and he went over there with a sort of a plan. And I think now, you know, coming into his final year in his contract, I'm sure that he'll be renegotiating different terms and how he can take, you know, Perth to another level, you know, because obviously this season would have been the season for him to push on to make finals. And, you know, he's sort of seen out what he's trying to achieve there. And I just wonder whether he needs more support from the club or what the next chapter is for Perth Glory. You know, we've got, you know, Tash Rigby that's been there for a long time. You know, is it a couple more years has she got left? Where's the next generation of Perth youngsters coming through? Because a majority of their squad is coming from interstate at this point in time. So I think it's really a case of, you know, Alex renegotiating and see what his plans are as a coach. And as everybody knows, as a coach in the A-League W, it's very, very tough to sustain a full-time role and depending on what sort of package that he's on. So I'm guessing he'd be wanting to negotiate and possibly wanting to stay on, knowing that there's not very many head coaching roles at the moment in this level. And as we all know, it's very, very difficult when you're coaching at such a high level, the highest level in Australia, to then go back to NPL is going to be quite difficult for him. So it'll just be a matter of what does he want to do with his career and where does he want to take it and whether Perth Glory is willing to support him in that next step also.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you bring up in terms of the negotiating and the positions they're in. You look around the league, Mark Tulkaso is not going anywhere. Dario Vidicic, I'm not entirely sure. You know, he was brought in after his dad took over the men's gig. I know Alex Aparkas is particularly fond of that role. Jeff Hopkins isn't going anywhere. You look, Ante Juric, not going anywhere. Cat Smith, I would presume, will be kept on, should be on a two-year contract. Gareth McPherson in Queensland, I think this is his final year of his contract, whether Alex goes up there. Would you say he's in the driver's seat, T, in terms of either renegotiating at Perth or potentially looking around the league at who else might take it?
I think opportunities always sometimes do come up. And I think he would have had a long-term plan when he started at Perth, and it all depends on, do the goals align with what the club want? Do they want to go locally? Do they want to make Perth more of a local side and bring in some of their homegrown talent, you know, as Noel said? But I definitely do think, you know, when he started there, he had a long-term plan, and now it's all about, can the club provide Alex with what he needs to, you know, like Noel said, take it to the next step, because they do need something more, something different. There's no excuses now. There's no COVID anymore. They've had a full season, you know, with home games under him now. And, so I guess they'll be, you know, going to the table and discussing what both sides want and can the club support him in what he needs. And if not, you know, perhaps he will try and find an opportunity elsewhere.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, how things progress with that in the coming months and at season's end, whether something's wrapped up beforehand. I wouldn't think so, but we'll see. Somewhere where he really made his name in Sydney. Let's talk about Sydney FC.
Hits it underneath. Flag stays down this time for Rachel Lowe! Sydney strike in the battle for the premiership. And it's Rachel Lowe that puts the Sky Blues into a 1-0 lead.
Rachel Lowe back at it again after a great week last week. Got the goal. Now she's got a brace this weekend. T, how good is that?
Yeah, she was absolutely brilliant. You know, with Madison Haley being out, it's given Rachel an opportunity in a new position, one she's hasn't been used a lot in, but she really has made it her own. She came on, she was subbed on in previous games and did a great job, and she got the start at number 9, and I think she was brilliant. I think she combined really well with, you know, Courtney Vine. She knows the players behind her very well, so the chemistry is there. You know, it's just whether, I guess, is Madison Haley going to be back? Even if she is back, will Ante back her again? Because Ante is the type of coach that, you know, when you do your job, when you do well, he will back you. And Rachel's earned the spot. So I'm really happy for her bagging the 2 on the weekend. It was a really good performance.
We saw that at the start of the season as well, when Madison Haley was in form and Remy Seamson was still at the club. You know, Remy Seamson, obviously, there was things happening behind the scenes of her moving over to Leicester, but she wasn't being started. Madison Haley had earned that spot, was in form, and Ante Juric stuck by her. Kath, do you see a similar thing perhaps playing out here?
I really do. And as we know, Ante is quite a tough nut, you know, and he really sticks to his guns. And if things are working, then he's happy to keep rolling with that. And, you know, I personally think you have to find a spot for Rachel Lowe in that squad now. I think she's done really, really well in being patient and sitting there and waiting for her chance. And she's been a true professional about it. She's gotten her chance, and now she's really, really stepped up to the plate. And, you know, it just goes to show how versatile she is as a footballer as well. I think people underestimate how good she actually is, because she's not one of those ones that's out there and loud. And, you know, she's a very, very quiet girl. But once she goes on the pitch, she can really do a job. And for me, she could play any position on that pitch and go and do a job for any team in the A-League Women's.
Is she one that people perhaps forget about a little bit because she's not as, you know, loud and outgoing? Like, let's not forget, she was capped by the Matildas at 17. Like, she was a very promising player, is a very promising player. And it seems like Does she need to maybe move on to another club to take that lead role, T?
Look, I think with Rachel, she's had some bad luck with injuries as well at the wrong times. She's always been around. She's a phenomenal player. And when you think of Rachel Lowe being on the bench in the composition of the league nowadays, it's crazy to think she's on the bench. She'd be starting in any other team nearly. So, I don't think she's gone unnoticed. You know, I think clubs and coaches know about her. I just think she's been so unlucky with the timing of injuries and just the type of injury she's had that's kept her playing more minutes. But hopefully it's looking like now, you know, her time on the bench has given her that opportunity for the body to be right. And she looked fresh as on Sunday and firing. So, hope to see her get some more game time.
And how crazy is it? She's 22 years of age. And, you know, we're talking about her like she's, you know, one of the old ducks of this league. And I think sometimes we forget, like, she's 22 years old. She's been over in college. She played for UCLA as well. And I just think it's just fantastic to see her. It's still so, like, she could really even push on and get herself back into Matildas if that's something that she wants, you know. Obviously, it's the next step and you have to be playing regularly and so on. But for her at 22 years of age, there's still such a long way for her to go in this competition or even push on and take her football to the next level.
Well, these next few weeks, months are really crucial for her, I think, in terms of staying fit, staying in form, whether she then ends up earning a solid place in this Sydney side, whether Mackenzie Hawksby goes overseas in the next window or whether another club sweeps in and picks her up, time will tell. Another player who's not going unnoticed, I should say, Michelle Heyman at Canberra, absolutely smashing it, playing great football.
After conceding three goals today, it might be more. Michelle Heyman gets the hat-trick. She points to the sky. She is simply undeniable in this competition.
Got a hat-trick on the weekend. How great is that for her, T, to be in fantastic form, not to mention in a World Cup year?
Oh, she's been amazing, and her experience is really showing this season. You know, she's such a great leader, and I think it was Nikki Flannery speaking about her after that match, and, you know, just what she was saying about Michelle and what she brings to the team and how much the girls look up to her. She's just been amazing for Canberra, and I think there's a stat going around in all the games that Michelle's scored, Canberra have gone on to win. So, she's been absolutely phenomenal. And you know, I don't think age should be in the question when in terms of the World Cup squad. I think if you're good enough, you're young enough, or if you're good enough, you're old enough. So, you know, whether you're a senior player doing really well, I think she should be considered for a role in the World Cup squad for sure.
Yeah, I saw this on Dubzone on the weekend as well and in previous weeks. We spoke about it a little bit last week, Kath, in terms of where she sits in the Matildas pecking order. She's close to 100 Liberty A-League goals. Is she almost a lock? Is she the best forward in the country, do you think, Kath?
At this point of time in our competition, and we're talking about Aussies, she is the best forward in the competition because she's scoring goals. At the end of the day, you're a striker. Your job is to score goals. And she's scoring goals from all different parts of the field. Like, look at the header that she scored on the weekend. You know, like, unbelievable. And she's in fantastic form. I think the hardest thing for her at the moment, and it's as much as she's doing so great in our competition, I think it's super, super hard for her at the moment because she's up against the likes of Sam Kerr in the Matildas squad, which is difficult for a position there. The other problem, which I'm seeing from the outside as well, not that I know anything on the ins, but, you know, if you look at the way Tony Gustavsson sets up his team, I don't know if Michelle Heyman fits into that because if you look at the players that he has on the wings as well, so say if we do move her out to the wide areas, he's looking at players that have top speed, high speed meters. That's something that he's really, really big on, and that's something that, you know, possibly that's why Michelle Heyman isn't fitting into what he wants.
And that's why Larissa Crummer is being selected, would you say? More than anything, her versatility across that speed, and she can play at the back as well?
Potentially, yes. Because if we go on form, Michelle Heyman has been in way better form than what Larissa Crummer has been at Brisbane Roar. And that's just going on actual form in the competition. So, but there's something that obviously Larissa Crummer can bring to the table that Michelle Heyman can't for him at the moment. And I, if I look at it from an outsider, I think it's got something to do with, you know, high-speed meters, that sort of data that I know that Tony Gustavsson is very, very big on.
And I guess the next question as well, obviously M. Gilnick is in the squad as well. We've talked about this in the past because it's really those, I would say, those three in terms of Sam Kerr, Crummer, and Gilnick, in at least in the last squad, were the three that were picked in terms of kind of number nines, unless I'm forgetting anyone extremely obvious. But, T, could you potentially, I mean, M. Gilnick didn't get a single minute in the competition, the Cup of Nations. Do you potentially, could you see Michelle Heyman playing a role in the next batch of friendlies then, instead of Gilnick maybe, or no?
I really agree with what Noor said. You know, if she's going to be playing, it's going to be number nine. Mm. And our starting number nine is Sam Kerr, and I don't see Sam making way in any of the games, three tough games where, you know, that we're no guarantee to get out of the group. So the only sort of way I guess Michelle would fit in would be if, you know, touch wood, you know, something did happen to Sam. So I don't see Michelle playing on the wings. I don't think at this stage of her career it's the right move for her. And if we're going on what, you know, Tony Gustafsson's looking for in those high-speed meters, perhaps it's a bit late. If you're bringing Michelle in as a sort of new style of play, it's a bit late now to make all those tweaks. So, yeah, I guess if you really look at things at that level, to which Noor's just gave a coach's perspective there, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to go in when you're tweaking your team to play to match the style of the players on the field. So bringing Michelle in this late, probably is unlikely, unless it's in that number nine role for more depth.
Yeah, well, she's got the Golden Boot. Well, she's leading the Golden Boot race now, took over Hannah Keane on the weekend. I guess, Kath, I want to get your opinion on this. Put your coaching hat on. Because I think we're under no illusion that she wouldn't start for the Matildas, right? Above Sam Kerr. There's no question about that. As much as Michelle Heyman's great and she's been a brilliant advocate for the game in this country, I mean, Sam Kerr is Sam Kerr. And she'd be under no illusions with that either. But I guess it comes down to who would you prefer off the bench? Who would you prefer to bring in a game in a World Cup out of those options? Obviously, there's the dynamism that Larissa Crummer might bring in terms of pace and, you know, like you say, high-speed meters. But in terms of options and difference in the options that you could bring off the bench, what are your thoughts on that?
I think you're throwing me under the bus here again, Cam. But
I don't mean to. I promise.
Look, it's a really difficult situation to say who you bring in.
Mm.
When you're picking a squad for a World Cup, I think you need to make sure that you've got versatility. You can't really just take players that can play, you know, just one position. But in saying that, if you listen to coaches all around the world and you listen to what they talk about prior to big competitions, they always talk about you have to take players that are in form.
Mm.
And I think right now Tony Gustafsson needs to look at what players are in form and what players can do a job for me and at this World Cup. Can somebody come on off the bench? You know, he said it a lot of times about, you know, Alex Chidiak, you know, that she's a, not that I agree with her, but a finishing 11, you know, so she's someone that can come off the bench and, you know, change a game, you know, so that they're the things that you need to look at as a coach. And you've got to think to yourself, okay, I can take X amount of players. What can each player bring to this squad and how can they help this team to be better? And then, again, you've got your starting 11, and then you've got to think, okay, who's the next best person that's going to go in these? So, you know, you need 22 players that can play every single role, and I think it's important that you take one out, you've got to be able to replace with one that you think can do just as good a job. And it's a really, really difficult situation to find that balance in squads when you are a coach, normal competition, let alone going into a major tournament when they're the only players that you can now deal with and work with for the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, certainly don't envy Tony Gustafsson having to make those decisions. It's always a tough one, especially with the World Cup. A lot of eyes on him in the coming months with the tournament and then into the World Cup as well. Talking of in-form players and in-form teams, Melbourne City.
Polisena goes again, hits the crossbar. Hunter Wilkinson with the follow-up, and it is a fourth goal for Melbourne City.
Starting to build a little bit of momentum now, looking like potentially the best attack in the league on paper when in form. Obviously, Kote Rojas back in the squad and back in the goals straight away, which you love to see. 4-0 over the Newcastle Jets. But this game really didn't blow out until about the 80th minute, so perhaps an unfair scoreline just on the paper. What are your thoughts about that, Kath? What did you think of the game?
I really think we've got to give credit to Newcastle Jets and how they came out to fight in that game. I thought they'd done really, really well. And, you know, they gave it everything to try and hold on, because we all know that Melbourne City is a quality team, and the football that they play is really, really fantastic. I really enjoy watching them play, the way they get in the ball, the way they try and play out from the back. You know, you can see what they're really working on the training pitch, because they really tried to execute it come game day. But in saying that, again, it did take them a little while to obviously open things up, which is a bit disappointing from their side of things, because we all know we can play beautiful football and we can keep 80% possession, but if we can't score goals, it becomes a little bit difficult that, you know, we can't sort of, you know, convert, which coming towards the pointy end of the season when you're going to start to play against, you know, better opposition, or you come into finals time, they're going to have to find that conversion rate, you know. So, but in saying that, I thought, look, at the end of the day, it's 3 points on the road for them. They've had, you know, obviously a lot of disruptions within the team. So now to get back on that sort of winning circle and push on the back end of the season, I think will be good for their confidence as well and moving forward.
Currently in third position. And it's an interesting point you make about how you can see the tactics in action. I spoke about this. I called a game a couple of weeks ago or a month or so ago with Leah Blaney. It was a Melbourne City game. I believe it was the Melbourne Derby against Victory as well. And we both said that was a really fun game to watch, purely because you can see what they're trying to do, which is not always the case in games. Sometimes it's a bit helter-skelter, and that just wasn't the case in this regard. You could see Melbourne City, how they want to play out. Like, there's clearly a philosophy being put into work. Teresa, what did you think of this game, and what do you think about that in general as one of the sides that are playing perhaps the more slick football in the competition?
Yeah, you got to give them a lot of credit, because don't forget, these are young players as well that are being taught the right way and, you know, playing attractive football that you obviously see without, you know, looking too much into it. You can just plainly see that. So, you know, it's great that they're learning the right way, you know, at Melbourne City. And they've had a bit of a dull patch in terms of the end product, but, you know, it looks like no one's panicked. It's okay. These things happen. They haven't lost patience. They haven't thrown the plan out the window. They've stuck to it. And now it's starting to come together again. So they've got Rojas back who matches, you know, the creative qualities of, you know, Polisena on the pitch. They work incredibly well together. So, you know, they'd be loving having her back on the pitch as well and creating and scoring goals. So, yeah, look, Melbourne City are on the up again. They've kind of gone under the radar lately, a little bit, but I think they're going to be hitting really good form come finals. I don't know where they'll finish, but I don't think it matters to them. They're out for the championship now, come finals they will be ready.
Yeah, you're right. They have kind of dropped off a little bit in the past few weeks. But, I mean, they're making finals no matter what at this point. And, yeah, I think you're completely right in terms of their surge for a grand final win. I mean, on paper, this squad is so good when everyone's fit, everyone's firing. I mean, it is absolutely sensational. McNamara, Polisena, who was fantastic on the weekend, really underrated player. Hannah Wilkinson, Rojas, Briley Henry, Daniela Garlic. Like, it's such a good team on paper, and some young players in there with some experience as well. I mean, Polisena, let's talk about her for a second. I mean, Kath, how good was she on the weekend, and how under the radar has she been over the last few weeks, last few years even?
She's fantastic. She's a great footballer. You know, I've played with her in futsal as well. And, you know, she's just such a razzler, you know, and you can see that on the pitch. And when you've got a bunch of great players around you, it really drives you to be better as well. And it lifts the whole team. And, you know, as T was saying, you know, someone like a Rojas, you know, Minnie thrives on playing with someone like that, that, you know, absolutely loves the game and loves to razzle as well, little 1-2s. Like, it's fantastic to see her in this form, because we've got to really say she hasn't had the easiest of runs into the A-League women's as well. She's had a lot of setbacks. There's been a lot of times there where she hasn't been picked for teams, and she went away. She's worked hard. She's found herself back in the A-League women's, and now she's finding herself at one of the best teams in the competition as a leader, as a starter, and one of their key players in that team that really holds that team together and keeps that team ticking over, which is, for me, to see a young girl from Western Sydney be able to do this in the league. And again, the main one for me is the setbacks, because there's so many young girls out there that want it all yesterday. They want it yesterday, and it's not the case sometimes. It's not about the horse that bolts first. It's about the person that keeps persisting, that's resilient, that works hard, that never gives up on their goal. And I think Minnie is a true example of this, and she's a very, very great example to show young players of today that think, you know, just because they're 18 and they haven't made it and they're not in, you know, in the A-League women's, that, you know, it's all over for them. So I think she's been fantastic. And some of the goals she scores, wow, you know, just hits the back of the net beautifully.
Yeah, scored a great one in this game and really coming into her own as one of the competition's best players, which is great to see, especially with all the things you've said there about her setbacks, about her journey. So you love seeing that from players in terms of getting their just rewards for their efforts. Let's talk about the Central Coast Mariners. They appointed their first head coach back in the league. Emily Husband will be leading them for the first campaign back in the competition. What a great moment for the club, Kath.
Fantastic moment. It's so great to see the Central Coast Mariners back in the competition. It's an amazing region for football. It's a huge region. They've got so many young females that play the game up there, and so many young females that actually play in Sydney and travel so far to be able to represent, you know, at a higher level. So to see them back in the competition, me personally, I don't think we should ever have seen them leave. They should have always stayed in the competition. But to see him back now and finally getting back into the competition and giving young females from the Central Coast area an opportunity to be able to, you know, push on and really, you know, have somewhere to go, because so many young Central Coast girls sometimes just sort of fall off and don't pursue that career in football because the travel and, you know, there's no real pathway for them to be able to keep kicking on.
Well, you talk about the pathway that Central Coast Mariners provides. Someone on this call was given their debut and their break into the A-League through the Central Coast Mariners. Teresa Pelias, how good is it to have them back in the competition, your former side?
Yeah, it's amazing how things seem to go full circle, don't they? And to be honest, if the Mariners weren't around, you know, back then, who knows, I may not have started my W League then, my A League's career, you know, at that time. So, and then who knows what my road would have been. So, like Kath said, great for the region, you know, to have an opportunity up there closer to home. I'd really love to see some local talent in the Mariners setup come next season. But, yeah, very, very exciting times. And, you know, he evens up the number of teams in the league, so we can say goodbye to the old bye
round. The bye weeks have been...
which I'm loving.
They've been a killer for my fantasy team as well, I'll just say that.
Definitely.
Having to rotate through. Let's talk about your journey with the Mariners as well. Obviously, you started your A-League journey there. You obviously went on to make 140-odd appearances for Sydney FC, but what was the journey like in terms of at Central Coast, being part of that squad, that inaugural squad and everything like that? What was that like for you?
A bit of a history lesson for some of the players, new players watching, but back then it was basically a massive Sydney-based draft. And I think the Mariners coaches, the Sydney coaches got together and drafted their players, and I'm pretty sure it was accidentally revealed to me that I was in the Sydney team at first. And then come the announcement, I was in the Mariners. But you know, back then, like, it really didn't matter to us players. We were, this new league was starting, and we were just amazingly excited to be a part of it. And you know, after a couple seasons, the opportunity arose for me at Sydney. Stadge you know, wanted me to make the move there, and that was my home club, and that was the club that I'd watch the men every week already. We were members, and we'd watch every week. So, yeah, I gladly made the move, and, yeah, hadn't looked back.
Well, that's a very interesting point there you make, Teresa, about a draft, and it's almost like we've planned it that way, because we're going to do a Central Coast Mariners draft from throughout the A-League, throughout Australia, of players that we think the Mariners could pick up, or that you would pick up if you were in charge of recruitment at the Central Coast Mariners with this, as they're being added next season. That's a very interesting point. And we're going to do that. So we're going to take turns between you two in terms of who you'd pick. We'll do five players each from around the league, around Australia. So let's get straight into it. Seeing as you've played for them, you're part of that draft, let's start with you. Who would be the first player you'd pick if you were starting the franchise again?
I'm going to start with a defensive midfielder, and I'm going to see if I can get Katrina Gorry to come on board.
Katrina Gorry, the first pick. I thought you were going to say Sarah Hunter for a second there.
Look, I'd love to. I'm just trying to be realistic here. I think the Sydney camp is just really happy, and, you know, stealing a player from Sydney is going to be very, very hard. So I'm going to try and target some other clubs and build around that.
Katrina Gorry, the first pick off the board. Kath, who are you picking now that Minnie's off the table?
I'm going with Kaya Simon. I think, you know, she played in the inaugural season for Central Coast Mariners. She's a fantastic player. Obviously, she's coming back from injury at the moment. She's nursing an ACL. She's 32 years of age, playing in England. She may want to come back and get some security. You know, the Mariners could sign her on a marquee, say a 3-year or 4-year long-term deal. Her family has also moved over to the Central Coast recently as well. So I know she does spend a little bit of time there when she comes back to Australia. So I would be going after my number one pick would be Kaya Simon. And if you do get her, Emily Husband, I want 10% for the pick.
The finder's fee.
Yeah, finder's fee.
I like it. That would be a massive marquee signing, not only for the league, but for Central Coast Mariners as well. That'd be awesome. T, who are you taking second?
It's a World Cup year. Obviously, it's going to depend on what happens during and after the World Cup, but I'm gonna get the feelers out to Lydia Williams' management and see if she's ready to – she's been gone for a while. See if she'd like to come home and enjoy the beautiful beaches of the Central Coast and help a massive project there.
Upgrade from the beaches of Brighton, I think it's fair to say. I think it's been a bit of a tough few months for her as well, obviously with PSG not really getting that much game time, and then Brighton and Hove Albion, it's not been the greatest start to life there, but I mean, a fresh start back in the A-League could be massive, and a massive name once again for the Central Coast Mariners. Kath, who are you taking as your second pick now?
Number two pick is Michelle Heyman. Again, she was there in the beginning at Central Coast. That's where she started her A-League women's footballing career, and I think it would be really great to be able to bring these girls back to where it started for them. And look, she's been in fantastic form, and if she doesn't hit the 100 this season, I think to come back to Central Coast Mariners and finish off her career where it all started, I think it would be a fairy tale ending for her and a fairy tale story.
Would be amazing. And just quietly, with these four players already that have been picked, it'd be a pretty formidable side. Kaya Simon, Michelle Heyman, Katrina Gorry and Lydia Williams. Would not mind that at all. Teresa, who are you going for your number three pick?
I'm going to give Fiona Wirtz the call. I don't know what is going on at Adelaide, but she's on the bench, so surely she can't be too happy, and just going to, ask whether she'd like a fresh change. And she's a great player. She's, you know, had out the Golden Boot last season, so she's got a lot of potential in a new setup with, the other draftees. So see how that goes.
I like it. Poaching from Adelaide, she really wasn't happy when she was dragged a few weeks ago. I think the cameras caught it as well, so any lip readers out there can find out what she thought about it. Kath, who are you taking for your third?
Teresa's not going to like this one because I'm stealing from Sydney, so she's going to be upset.
That's T's whole agenda here, just not taking any Sydney players. Keep them up the top there.
Yeah. But I'm going with Rachel Lowe. She went to Pymble Ladies College. Pymble Ladies College up to the Central Coast is only a 48-minute drive up the freeway. She doesn't live that far. It's not a big commute for her. And I think, you know, if she wants to take her football to the next level and wants to be, you know, a key player where she's starting, and they could build a team around her, and I think she's somebody that could really grow in that role. I think maybe if we do start to give Rachel some sort of leadership roles where, you know, it might actually take her out of her shell, where she can actually now really grow, not only just on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. So I'm going for Rachel Lowe.
I think that's a nice age profile as well, slotting into some of the more experienced players we've picked here. And then as well, you'll have some younger players from the region and throughout the league. So I think that's a really nice kind of 22 years old, can build with the team, but already at the level that she needs to be. Teresa, who are you taking fourth?
I'm going to go with the defender now. And I'm going to hit up Ivy Lewick and get her back to Australia.
Ivy Lewick, part of the most recent Matildas camp. Obviously a former Liberty A-League player as well. Get her in, some experience there. Nice pick.
Quality, yeah, great person as well. I think she'd be a fantastic leader in a new team.
I like it. Kath, who are you taking fourth?
Hey, T, it just depends whether she likes the beaches up there. She can bring a surfboard.
That's it, hey? The whole package for her.
All right, number four. I'm going outside the box here. So seeing though Emily Husband is a Pom, I am going for Carly Telford, which was the English goalkeeper. She's 35 years of age. She obviously was playing at Chelsea. She's gone to San Diego Wave now, and I think she would be somebody that would be a fantastic recruit for Central Coast Mariners. She's got experience. She's a great leader. She's a great goalkeeper, and will be somebody that will really put the glue together in that team as well.
That'd be awesome. And we know with these kind of teams, and when you recruit well, we've seen with Western United, you've got to get your visa players right. So she'd be an amazing signing. I'd love to see it. Final pick, T, who are you going for?
Going for a youngster, because I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking of the future here, and this youngster is in need of game time. She's at Sydney FC. She's cracked in a few times, but I believe she's good enough to be starting and getting a lot more minutes than she is. Mary Stanage Bloody. I think she's got a lot of potential. You know, I've drafted Trina Gorrie as well. I think she'd learn a lot from Minnie, and I think they'd work really well together.
It's funny you say that, T, because I was just speaking to her this morning at school, and I just said to her, well, if you're not getting game time at Sydney, go to bloody Mariners and go get yourself playing.
I don't want her to leave Sydney because, you know, I've watched her, you know, come up the ranks. But, look, she's a great player who I believe could be getting minutes in any team. So, yeah, that's another player I'd go for.
Well, there you go. Kath Connolly's given her the marching orders, sent her up the coast. I like to see it as well. It must be said, I remember when they made their return, Sydney FC to Allianz Stadium, her father's engineering company actually built Allianz Stadium, which is a fun little one. Kath, who are you taking for your final pick?
Teresa Pelias.
Get her out of retirement. Get her in there.
Bring Teresa back to the coast.
I like it. You're not playing for Sydney Olympic anymore, T. You're making your way up the coast. You're putting back the navy and yellow jersey. What a selection.
I don't know what to say, guys.
Number one draft pick.
Franchise player, Teresa Pelias. She's going to stay quiet now, Kath.
Back to where it all started.
Yeah. That's it. Why not?
Love to see it. Look, let's have a word with the backroom staff at the Mariners, hey?
I think we've done pretty well with this draft.
I really like it. If this is who they can recruit, I think we can expect good things from the Mariners next year. Just quietly, we haven't quite seen, you know, too many signings. I know they made, I believe it's Magnuson is her name, a youngster from the region, but we haven't seen them make any real major signings as of yet. What are you guys expecting? We'll start with you, Kath. What are you guys expecting to see from the Mariners in their first season back in the comp?
I think they're going to be competitive. I think they've got a good pool to be able to go out and sort of pick from. You know, we've spoken about there's a lot of youngsters out there that are at teams at the moment that aren't getting game time. It's obviously going to really test the depth of the competition and where we're at. But I think obviously putting Emily in charge at this point in time and so early on, it gives her a good sort of amount of time to start building and start working really closely. You know, especially, you know, she'll be able to lean on Dan Barrett, who's currently leading the Central Coast Mariners in the League One competition. He's at the school up there as well, which a lot of that those talented youngsters are going to, which will be, you know, he's had a lot of experience in the competition as well. So she'll be able to lean on him and lean on a lot of other coaches that will be willing to sort of guide and help her through, you know, whatever her own philosophy is. But, you know, there was Annalise Rasmussen, obviously one of the youngsters that's been signed there, and she's been fantastic. She's a great player. I've seen her play, you know, the last 5-6 years in the competition. And, you know, even as a youngster, she was always a real, real standout. And there's plenty more of them up on the coast as well that they can really, you know, if they can get the good core of experienced players and then build the rest of the young Central Coast girls around that, 100% they're going to be competitive, because the way the Coasties are brought up, and I've played against Central Coast Mariners for many years in the NPL competition as well, but they've got that fight and they wear their heart on the sleeve, and I'm sure they're going to be a competitive outfit from day one.
Yeah, I think they've got every opportunity to be competitive, and I'm sure Emily Husband's already got the ball rolling, and as long as she can be given the resources she needs, she can definitely, you know, get a manageable and quality squad together to be competitive. And if anything, this season's a bit of a dress rehearsal with Western United coming in. I'm sure she'll take a few pointers from what we've seen with Western United, and even across the league with the type of foreigner we can recruit now, whether they're, you know, young players from America that have just come out of college and are trying to, you know, get some quality game time before they head back to their parent clubs or don't have a club yet. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity there for in terms of recruitment and you know, in general, I think players will be happy with the lifestyle up there. It's there's so many, you know, points about the coast that people will want to go there for. So very, very exciting times.
I was about to say that's a nice draw card of being recruited by there. Go live up on the Central Coast. Wouldn't mind it at all. And I think you're spot on about learning from the, I guess, adventures of Western United and what they've done this season. I'll just recap the two picks that you guys have made. Kath, your team or your picks: Kaya Simon, Michelle Heyman, Rachel Lowe, Carly Telford, and Teresa Pelias out of Sydney Olympic. Teresa, your picks for this one: Katrina Gorry down from Brisbane, Lydia Williams, Fiona Wirtz, Ivy Lewick, and Mary Stanich Floody. So some great picks in there, and geez, if they could pick up all 10 of them, then they'd be certainly a team to reckon with. Thank you so much for joining me today, guys.
Thanks, Cam.
Always great to be here.
Always great to have you guys. Thank you so much for joining me. Just before we leave you for today, I alluded to it earlier, just touching on the Canberra United situation. They've been provisionally docked 3 points from their league standing after using an unauthorised additional substitution in their 2-1 win a couple of weeks ago against Sydney FC. The club are appealing that decision. Once the league has come to a final decision on the matter, you'll be able to find out all about it on keepup.com.au. So make sure you head there to never miss a headline. A-League's All Access is centred around one of the Liberty A-League's best this week, Grace Ma. It'll be one to watch, that is for sure. A new episode of the A-League's Men podcast is out now, and a new episode of the Players Pod is out this Thursday. We're also bringing you the best audio bites from Dub Zone to lead you into the weekend, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. That's all from the official Liberty A-League podcast. I've been your host, Campbell Johnson, and as always, enjoy the football. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice, look nice. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice. Yeah, we look nice, future looking nice, we don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future. Yeah, we look nice, future looking real nice, we don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future.